Well, thank you. Thank you for that warm introduction. Good morning, Bridgeway.
Good morning.
It's so good to see you. My name is William Jin, and I've been introduced as one of the associate pastors who is serving in the care ministry at Bridgeway. Well, first, before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge and thank our senior pastor, Dr. Anderson, for allowing me to share the Word of God with you this morning. I pray that Dr. Anderson is having a beautiful sabbatical rest and renews his strong relationship with God. And as he's praying and planning for this fall, may God bless him. Well, today, I will kick off this first message of the summer series called God's Got Your Number. And I was at the Columbia campus this morning before I come up here, and Dr. Steve Harnett was preaching the same theme, not the same passage. And I said, boy, that is so good. So I went up to him and said, hey, can I use your note for... but he won't give it to me, so I just have to stick with what I have. Make sure you watch him at the YouTube or Facebook. Well, so number one, which carries the meaning of a unity and diversity within our church, multicultural ministry. A long time ago, I read the book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. In the book, he talks about concept of doing life together. I want to ask you this. How do we do life together at Bridgeway? How do we come together as a one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism? Well, I want to talk about 3 points today, hopefully not going over 30 minutes, maybe less. And I would like to address the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How do we do that? Well, first thing that I'd like to talk about is accepting new status, your identity. Second thing is applying new way of thinking. And the third, an aspiring new community. Well, I believe these 3 points are building components of a unity. So something maybe this involves very basic theological thinking, and I hope that based on that theological thinking that we could build the unity of our church. If you have a Bible with you or a scripture application on your smartphone, turn with me, or perhaps maybe the screen can display the scriptures. Scripture this morning comes from the Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29, and let me read it for you. So in Christ Jesus, you are all Christians, all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is word of the Lord. So, how do we do life together? Where does our unity come from? The first building component of the unity is accepting our identity or new status. Again, we read in verse 26, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. A couple of observations here. Notice that scripture says that you are already a children of God through faith. It is definitive It happened. Accepting your new status in Christ is essential to building unity at Bridgeway. Really? How does that connect? Your position as a child of God is not what you aim at. What do you mean by that? It's not a future orientation or attainment or accomplishment. It's here and now already. It is done. This is who you are. Again, what do I mean by that? This is not something that you aim at. It happened to you. If I were to ask you, are you a Christian? And you respond back to me by saying, well, I hope so. I'm working on it. Maybe a year from now, I'll be a real Christian. No. Your position in Christ is here and now. It's definitive, even though you may not be a strong believer. Why? Because the Bible says your status as a child of God comes from Jesus Christ, not based on your own performance. Remember that? That's what this church is founded upon. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. This is the gospel. It's not something that you say, oh yeah, okay, I get it. Then you move on to something else. This is the beginning. This is how you enter into the kingdom of God. This is how you stay in the kingdom of God. And this is how you get to the kingdom of God and be with God. It's the beginning and the end. It is the gospel. God has justified you through Jesus Christ. God has adopted you as a sons and daughters in Christ. God is sanctifying you in the image of Christ right now. God will not say, man, you know, I adopted this kid from an orphanage. He's not living up to my standard. And I'm disappointed. You know what? If this kid does not shape up, I might have to let him go. Sending back to him, back to where he came from. Would God do that to you? Would God take back his gift from you? Of course not. By the way, this verse also reflects as your position as a child of God is not based on your subjective feelings, but on the objective legal transaction that is based on what Christ has done on the cross. He did two things, right? Jesus Christ did two things. One, that he paid all of our sin, past, present, future. Wow, that just blows my mind. You mean like maybe tomorrow? Or maybe even hour after our worship? Or I don't know how long I'm going to live, but all of my entire sin has been paid by him by dying on the cross for my sin. That just blows my mind. But that's just the one thing. Another thing that he has done for you is that he lived a perfect life. That's why he has to come as a human being, just like what I'm going through, except he was a sinless, perfect life. Why was it important? Because that perfect, righteous life can be credited to me. So my sin went to him, his righteousness came to me. There was a double exchange. Wait a minute. I thought you were going to talk about the unity. I know it's coming. But this got to be the foundation in order for us to have the unity at Bridgeway. Let me give you illustrations about this feeling, but your status is actually happened in legal transaction. If you travel internationally abroad, now it's possible because COVID is going down. That's not the case. I got the COVID 3 weeks ago. But if you are traveling, and when you get to a foreign country, there is always a customs officer who's there to stamp your passport, right? And he would say to you, so you are American. But what if you say, well, you know, today, I'm not so sure. I just ate Chinese food and I don't feel like American. Your feeling is important, but it's got nothing to do with your position in Christ as a child of God. Feelings will come and go, but you know what? What has happened to you is illegal, it's real. You've been purchased by Jesus Christ. So accepting your new status in Christ is a crucial to building a unity at Bridgeway. Second point, I only have 3 points, so we're almost there. Second building component of unity is what? Applying a new way of thinking. Look at verse 27. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Again, two observations in this verse. First is baptized into Christ. Now, what does this mean? What is a baptism? As many theologians, we remind us, the baptism is a sign and seal that you belong to Christ and Christ belongs to you. Now, what does that mean? See, the sign means something that has happened inside of you. Now that is expressing outwardly, so that's a sign of what happened to inside. I'm wearing a ring. And, well, there's many reasons why people wear a ring. But normally, people wear a ring on the left side. And this means that I am married. It's a sign that what has happened to me. Now, of course, the argument is, well, I know someone who is not married and wearing a wedding ring. Something's wrong with that, right? But that, I'm not going to talk about that. Baptism is a sign. What has happened to you, right? And it's a seal, is notarized, is a certified, is a stamp of approval. It really happened. That's what it means. How do you know that you belong to Christ? How do you know that you're people of God? What proof do you have? What signs do you have? What ID or passport do you have? When you place your faith in Christ, you were united with him. When he died, you died. What does that mean? It means when he died on the cross for your sin, your sin has been paid by Christ, or you should have died on that cross. So there's a union. When God raised him, Jesus Christ, from the grave, that the reason why he raised him was because he was sinless. He's righteous. He's a son of God. Of course, the prophecy says this man would rise from the third day. He was the Messiah. His righteousness, because he has risen from the dead, and you belong to him, you're united with him, you would also have a new life, and that you would have also resurrection at the end. Romans 6, verse 3 to 7, explains in this union with the Christ concept. But let me read some portion of it. The Romans 6, chapter, verse 3, he says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slave to sin, for he who has died has been free from sin. Baptism at Bridgeway is more than, but not less than, becoming a partner at Bridgeway. But you're not just joining a membership, a club or organization like Costco or Netflix. The baptism symbolizes the sign and seal of your identity, your commitment, and your promise that you will follow Christ as your Lord and Savior. Second observation. I know, someone is asking, wait, what has it got to do with unity? It's coming. Second observation of this verse said, clothe yourself with Christ. What does that mean? Clothe yourself with Christ means it resembles a covering, right? I have a new coat or jacket. I can't wear my jacket now because I need a new jacket anyway. It's talking about covering or wearing someone else's clothes. It is not mine. It is someone else. You are wearing what? The righteousness of Christ. Why is it important? Do you remember Genesis 3? When Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, their eyes got brightened and they could see their own nakedness. It's a symbol of their shame and guilt for not obeying the word of God. But God covers them both. Genesis 3, verse 21 says, the Lord God made garment of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Some of the theologians said that's the eschatology, the something that's going to come in the end, that symbolizes Jesus Christ's death and shedding of the blood. We also see this concept of covering in Revelation chapter 7, verse 19, 9 through 10. The great multitude in white robes in that heaven. The scripture says, at this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. What do they have in common? They were wearing white robes, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. They're holding palm branches in their hands, and they cry out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Clothe yourself with Christ. You cover yourself who Jesus Christ is. In other words, all that Christ has is now belongs to you. Now, I really didn't get that, right? It's like, what does that mean? And when I especially read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 10, don't worry, I'm not going to read all of it, but it says in verse 3, in Ephesians 1, praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realm with what? Every spiritual blessing in Christ. What are you looking for from Christ? You're looking for happiness? You're looking for security, financial restorations. I don't know, maybe a relationship. What are you looking for? We need that, right? But here is something more that Christ can offer you. He could offer you God's grace, God's love. You want to be perfect? He was perfect. And when you wear that robe, that new jacket, you are going to be perfect. Oh, come on. Existentially, I am not. Of course you're not. But you're wearing his jacket. You want to know the grace of God? You want to know the glory of God, as we have sang today? You want to know his presence? Whatever Christ had is yours. You're wearing his jacket. That sounds okay, but I'm not sure I could, I'm not sure I could experience that. Here, I have a test for you, whether you're wearing that jacket of Jesus Christ or not. You remember the place where, in the gospel, where Jesus is about to start his ministry? Maybe he was about age 30, and he's ready to go. And first thing he did, according to the gospel reading, many places, that he came to Jordan River and getting baptized by John. And John said, oh, whoa, don't come. I'm the one who's supposed to get baptized by you. And Jesus said, no, do this for the righteousness of sake. Well, what happens? We read in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. The voice from the heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I'm well pleased. So here's a place where you could see a Trinity in the Scripture. The Son who get baptized, Spirit's coming down, Holy Spirit's coming down in the form of dove, and heaven's open, and the voice of a Father said, this is my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased with you. Now here's the test to see whether you are clothing yourself with Christ. Take the name Jesus out of that passage and place that name, your name, in that scripture. Is God saying to you, you're my beloved son, you're my beloved daughter, and I'm well pleased with you today? What do you think? I don't know about you, but for me, I'm not there yet. I stand before God and I'm not sure he's going to say, well, you know, William, you're okay. You know, I like you. And I'm well pleased with you. I'm not sure that will be the case. But here is what it means. If you are wearing that new jacket, if you are clothing yourself with Christ, God is going to say to you, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what you have done hour before you were here, or what you're going to do after this worship service, if you are wearing that robe, what Christ has done, hard to believe, but he's going to say, you're my beloved son, you're my beloved daughter, and I'm well pleased with you. Hard to believe. This is what it means, accepting and trusting in God. What do you realize based on what I've just said? I'm going to share with you my mistake. I think the point two is a very important point. That's why I'll go quickly on point three and we're done with it. But point two is very important for me. And I'd like to share that with you because it was my mistake. The mistake that I made as a Christian is that once I got saved by Christ, that now I'm in the family of God, But for me to stay in this family, I need to be good and sin no more. Someone said, oh, you mean no drinking, no smoking, no lying, no dancing, no chasing after women? But this was my mistake. My mistake was I tried to be a good person without Jesus Christ. Well, as if Jesus Christ was giving me a second chance. William, you messed up, man. I'm going to clean you up, and I'm going to give you a second chance. And make sure this time you make it. So I tried without Christ. My mistake was I tried to be a good person without Jesus. I tried to be righteous without him. I tried to wear my own jacket and said, look at me, without wearing Christ's robe. And here's what I realized. New way of thinking. You need this in order to be Bridgeway, to be unified. New way of thinking is my only goodness and righteousness are in Jesus Christ. I'm living off of his righteousness. This is the new way of thinking, that you are clothed with Christ. How long? 10 years from now, when I get better? Are you kidding me? Have you ever really thought about 20 years ago or 10 years ago? Are you better off now than ever? Yes, I'm a much better person. Really? Or maybe it's just me. I don't know. How long do I have to live off Christ's righteousness? Until the day that we die. And that was my mistake. I don't want to wear his jacket. I want my own. I realized that Christianity was not about me, but it's everything to do with Christ from beginning to the end. When you think like this, two things are going to happen. One, what's going to happen to you? One is you become more broken, more lowly, humble. Why? Because you are able to see yourself, how wretched and how sinful you are. Your motivation is twisted, crooked. I'm a care director at Bridgeway, right? So I'm supposed to show mercy. Oh, I'm supposed to show love and mercy and do all of that, right? Of course, I do that. Of course, that's my. How do I say this nicely? That's my job, right? But end of the day, when I come home, sometimes I put my head down and said, you know, that wasn't real. What am I doing? And I needed to repent. Because I tried. If there's only good thing in me. Now, don't try to be too hard on yourself, Pastor Jen. I know. I don't want to be negative. But only good thing in me. It's not really a mission. Only good thing in me is a Jesus Christ. Right? So, if you think like this, you're able to see who you are, how wretched and sinful you are. You think about your motivation is good? Think again. You're much worse. I'm sorry. But at the same time, simultaneously, if you think like this, not only you see of your more brokenness of yourself, more wretched, more sinful you are. But at the same time, you become a person of a gratitude for what Christ has done for you. Right? That his love, his patience, his infinite grace towards someone like me, his love is going to break you. And that's how he's going to change your life. My mistake was, I don't want that. I want my own jacket. I want to live right. It didn't work. I don't know about some of you out here. Well, he's working for me. Applying new way of thinking in Christ is crucial to building a unity at Bridgeway. Now, the third point, last point. All right, so you set it up point one, point two. How is it going to help unity of our church? Aspiring a new community. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. How? This famous passage does not say we're all identical. We're different. You know, there's a black, whites, Latino, Asians. We're all different, yet we're all one. That's what this verse says. This is a radical statement. Tim Keller says following thing. This verse means any two people who are Christians have more in common with each other than with the non-Christians of their own genders, social status, or race. It means I am a Christian before I'm any race, etc. It means that all the barriers that separate people in the world into a warring factions comes down in Christ. Do you know what is a great equalizer of everything? It is the gospel. How? Because for it is by grace that you've been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. This is the great equalizer. This is what's going to make us unified. This is what's going to bring us together as a people of God. How would you create unity at Bridgeway? Again, I'm borrowing the commentary from Keller's. He says two ways. If you really grasp the gospel is not just the way to enter into the kingdom of God, but it's the way that you grow, you stay, and you prosper. How? Again, two things. The gospel talks about two things. One is the bad news, one is the good news. Bad news is what? Bad news of the gospel creates unity. What? What is the bad news? The bad news is that we know we are sinners like everybody else. White, blacks, Latino, Asian, the Bible says, Romans chapter 3, verse 10 to 12, as it is written, there's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. Well, it's like a prison, isn't it? You know, well, what are you sure? Why are you here? Well, I killed a man. Okay, well, I robbed a bank. Is it unify people? It's an argument. What unifies us? When I look outside, when I look at you, don't take this wrong way. I see similar points of how you feel and what I feel. Now, obviously, you're much better than me, but what I'm saying is all the evil thoughts, selfishness, pride, maybe a racism, I don't know, whatever I have, please forgive me if I'm offending anybody. I see the same thing in some of you. And that unifies who we are, the humanity that's fallen before God. That's bad news. I don't care whether you're rich. I don't care whether you got a PhD or college graduate or you went to high school. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, Asian, Latino. We're all pretty much the same. Deep down, it's all about us. Yes, we eat different food. We speak different languages. We come from different culture. But deep down, in true humanity, we're falling short of the glory of God. And that's what this church is about. People who have fallen, yet look for a redemption, look for a forgiveness, look for a righteousness of God. Isn't that why you're here? My friend says, so let me get this right, William. You go to all African-American church? The Asian guy? Yeah. Like, why? I don't know. I really don't. One day, Dr. Anderson called me and said, hey, you'd like to come and be a part of the team at Bridgeway? And I said, okay, I'll go. I didn't have any big revelations or I didn't have, you know, racism to the core, nothing like that. But I'm here and I see the vision. Right? What about arts of the good news that create unity? The privilege that we get from the gospel, what is it? The sonship, daughtership. You have been adopted to a family of God. And all the spiritual blessing is given to you. And the Holy Spirit is reside in your heart. And the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's all given to you. That's what defines Bridgeway. Challenge for us is, how do we accept our identity without feeling superior or inferior to others? Hey, you know what? I'm a little bit better than you. Of course you are. I'm not going to fight it. Yeah, I accept that. How do we feel when you walk into a Bridgeway, your identity without feeling superior or inferior to others? Live for God's glory and love for your neighbor. How do we do that? The answer is possible when our sub-identities are, first and foremost, found in Christ's righteousness, on gospel. In order for you to do that, just like all humanity, this is who I am. In deep down inside, I am pretty much self-centered. And there's many things, many ambitions, many passions in me that is fighting against me. And I do some stupid things sometimes. Well, a lot of times. So our self-identities are first and foremost found in Christ's righteousness, his merit and atonement, not based on the secondary status. What is that? Such as education, job, heritage, race, ethnicity, accomplishment, and success. What have you accomplished? Who are you at your age? What profession do you have? I'm not saying those things are bad. God has given you the ability, the gifts, and resources. And I'm so happy for some of you who have made it. But when we stand before God, God's going to look at our righteousness. In that sense, you and I are pretty much the same. You may have failed the grade. Passing grade was 70, and you might got 68. Mine, 42. But we both failed. We are saved by grace alone, not by our work righteousness. How good we are, what we have accomplished, is not how it defines us. On the day, or even now, God evaluates us based on our jacket. What kind of jacket are you wearing? Is it Christ? Are you in union with Christ? Little cup that we took, right? I like that. It's so convenient, right? You put in the waffle, the bread, and the juice or wine is there. Why are we doing that? The people who have gone through baptism, the union with Christ, you're publicly committing yourself and acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As monthly we take that little cup, saying, Lord, thousand times, millions times, I am not worthy. I try, but I can never be where you want me to be. So today I come, I'm taking little bread and wine, which symbolize Jesus Christ's flesh and blood. I am taking that. Oh, Lord, I have no other righteousness but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I come before you today. Would you be with me? And I commit myself to you again. That's the unity that Bridgeway is looking for. What do you say, guys? Accepting new status, applying new way of thinking, and aspiring new community, not based on your work performance, but based on what Christ has done. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for a thousand times. We're not worthy. We're not worthy at all. We're not worthy. But you are. And you are good. And every righteousness is in you. And Lord, you are hidden in Jesus Christ. So we boldly claim, as we have taken that communion this morning, Lord, we belong to you. We're not worthy. Lord, there's nothing good in us, but we grab onto Jesus Christ because he is perfect in every way, and he is ours. Lord, may that simple gospel message would unify us. This is where truly the gracism that happens because of what Christ has done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Bridgeway Community Church Sunday Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Bridgeway, visit our website at bridgeway.cc. To watch all of our sermons, visit our YouTube channel and make sure you subscribe while you're there. If you'd like to download sermon notes, just click the link in the description. If you'd like to take part in our 30th anniversary challenge, go to bridgeway.cc/30. That's bridgeway.cc/THIRTY. Thanks again for listening, and have a great week.